Little Swatara, it's so good to see all your smiling faces. It's especially joyful to see Naomi here this morning. Can we give the Lord a round of applause for what he's doing in Naomi's life and so many other people's lives here today? And it's good to see Cindy and David with us this morning and all of your faces here with us this morning. We want to highlight the newsletter is deadline today. If you were planning on writing any newsletter articles, we'd encourage you to get those newsletters in before the end of today. And just a highlight for the ladies, can you say 9 a.m., ladies? Let me hear you say 9 a.m. 9 a.m. tomorrow morning is a ladies' Bible study at the Parsonage, so we'd encourage all the ladies to come out and enjoy a Bible study with Denise and Ashley Landis, and that'll be starting at 9 a.m. We also want to highlight another announcement, so we just invite Cheryl to make an announcement on behalf of the Haiti mission team.
Morning. We have about 11 people from our congregation who are going to be traveling to Haiti February 4th through the 7th of next year. So in order for us to make our mission a success, we are doing some fundraising activities. One of the things that we're going to be doing, you may have seen outside in the narthex, it is our donation wall. We have envelopes on that wall with numbered 1 through 200. If you are interested in donating, those numbers correspond to dollar amounts. And so if you are interested in donating to our mission, you can just pull off an envelope and the directions are inside as far as payment. We have quite a bit of expense to be able to do this mission. We're looking at least $15,000, which would cover our travel expenses. It would also cover food kits to dispense to local village, a Bible school program for the local children, a program at the local prison, and I think there might be some other things as well. We don't have our set itinerary yet, but those are some of the things I know that we will be participating in. Our goal is to have all of the envelopes taken off the wall, so please prayerfully consider making a donation to this fundraiser. Or we also have, you can choose to do one or both of our fundraising activities. We're having a Kaufman's Chicken Barbecue on August 13th at the Square in Bethel. All the information is in your bulletin. There's a sign up in the narthex, or you can hit up one of the team members. Pam is here, Ashley Landis, myself, Pat Timmons, are just a few of the people you can talk to if you want some tickets for that. And also, I forgot to mention the first service, we are still taking people who want to go along with us too. So if you're interested in joining our team to go to Haiti, you can talk to Ashley Landis. She's our fearless leader. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Exciting times here at Little Swatara. Any other announcements this morning we'd like to highlight? Always keep the Haiti team in prayer as they prepare for that February mission. Other announcements this morning? I invite you to a word of prayer, and then we'll join in singing hymn number 521, Come Thou Fount. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here as brothers and sisters in the faith. Father, we know this week has had many challenges, but Father, we're giving them to you in this moment, and we're asking your Spirit to speak to our hearts, to uplift us, to encourage us, to edify us, and to help us to love one another well. And we pray, Father, that you would be ever so close to us as we tune our hearts to you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please rise, number 521, Come Thou Fount.
Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. The Lord's name.
We are tremendously blessed by the way God continually moves in our lives, and we invite you at this time to share in any joys or concerns that you may have with the congregation. There'll be a microphone coming around, and just slip your hand in the air, and we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, I'd like prayer for my dad, Ray Berger. Something happened this week. We're still not sure what it was, but he's weak in his left side and can't walk. He walks, but with help. He kind of leans to the left always, like he's going to fall. So, like prayer, he's at the rehab in Reading, Ray Berger.
Thank you.
Dorothy Renninger, she's still having a lot of problems with her shoulder and her carpal tunnel and all that. It's really bothering her.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to share a blessing that I had this morning. Believe it or not, on Netflix, there's a Gospel of John, and it's done by a group that's producing all four Gospels in a visual context. Very, very nicely done. It's historically very accurate. You see the way that, for instance, the water pot from the well was made out of leather, so it wouldn't be so heavy. You know, just little small things like that. Very nicely done. And it was really, you know, brought me to tears to see how they depicted Jesus being scourged and how he was... how he looked on the cross. And I think if you have Netflix, it's worth seeing it. I don't know, you could probably get it on Amazon also if you, I think it's on there as well if you don't have Netflix. But for all the things that Netflix doesn't have, it's nice that there's something godly on there and something that Christians would get a blessing from. So I wanted to share that.
Amen, yes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just still our hearts before you. We calm any anxiety we have over situations happening in our lives, and we turn to you, the master physician, the creator God, the almighty, the powerful, the one who knows us and loves us despite ourselves. And Father, we know that this week has been full of ups and downs. And we know, Father, that in each and every situation we found ourselves, you were present. And Father, now we come before you, we humble ourselves, we surrender ourselves to you in full submission, asking you to fill us with your Spirit, to guide us, to lead us, direct us, to lean on your everlasting truth. And Father, as the world around us continues to collapse and hate breeds hate, we pray that we would be a people of peace, that we would love unconditionally, that we would share our faith that hope might be spread. And Father, we know there are concerns upon our hearts. There are those who are struggling with their health. And Father, we know that with your simple touch, they can be completely healed. And Father, we are praying, if it be your will, for those on our prayer concerns, those dealing with various health issues, that if you would simply touch them and you would allow your healing to go forth. But Father, we know that suffering comes along with this life. And in our suffering, we often find you. And Father, we pray that as we go through various situations, that we would turn not inward, but we would turn outward to you, the lover of our souls, the one who knows the number of hairs on our head, the one, no matter how much we sin, when we come before you and confess and ask for forgiveness, know that we are forgiven. So, Father, we lift up Jen and Pete and Carol and Gerhardt and Orwin and Jean and Catherine and Naomi and Richard and Brock and Tim and Carl and Faye and Ruth and Ray and Dorothy and, Father, others on our minds as we speak. And we ask, Father, that your pleasing and perfect will be done. And now, Father, as we prepare our hearts for a sacred ordinance we do in the church called communion, in remembrance of your body, in remembrance of your blood broken and poured out for us, we come before you searching our hearts. We know where darkness is overcoming us. And we're praying, Father, that your light would shine on that darkness and we would come before you confessing and asking forgiveness, and then, Father, turning from that sin, casting it as far as the east is from the west. So, Father, we pray you hear our prayers of confession, and you hear those prayers upon our hearts. God, we recognize your greatness. We recognize your power. And we come before you recognizing that we are known by you, that we are considered children of God, those that believe, those that live their lives in line with your Son, Jesus. But Father, there may be some here this morning struggling in their faith, not knowing which way to turn. And Father, I ask an extra special dose of mercy and compassion upon those individuals, that they may once again be able to see how very much they're loved and how much they're accepted and how much you desire for them to be nearer to you. So, Father, we pray that we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength the days of our lives. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
In loving the Lord, we serve the Lord. In serving the Lord, we give of our time and our resources. And at this time, we pray that we would give with cheerful hearts, recognizing the difference our funds make to impact the kingdom. May you give with cheerful hearts. Thank you for these gifts before us. We thank you for each giver, and we pray your abundant blessings upon them. We thank you for the cheerful hearts that we're able to give out of and the abundance that you provide in our lives. We now place these gifts before you and ask, Father, that you would use them, that you would multiply them, you would allow them to build up your kingdom. And we thank you, God, for the opportunity to share in this response of offertory. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. The bread and cup communion will reserve for after this morning's message. At 11 o'clock last night, the Lord decided we'll change this morning's sermon. So we'll reserve that message and step with God for another time. But the children's story will now be given by my daughter, Abigail.
I'd like to invite the children to come join me up front. I'm sure all of you know what a McDonald's Happy Meal is. You know what that is, right? First service told me they didn't know what it was. Have you ever had a McDonald's Happy Meal? What is your favorite part of that meal?
The French fries?
Yes, I'll agree with you. Is any of your favorite part the toy? Do any of you like the toy? Yeah? My favorite part of the McDonald's Happy Meal is them French fries. The toy, it looks cheap and I doubt it will last long. That's why I don't like that toy. I'm really happy when I get them fries. They make me so happy until I eat them all. Then I'm not happy anymore. That's the only problem with the Happy Meal. It satisfies you until it's all gone. Did you know our church has something like a Happy Meal? Did you know that? We're going to share it later in this service. Our Happy Meal is that bread and juice right in front of you. The bread represents the body of Jesus, and the juice represents his blood. When we eat this Happy Meal, we are reminded that Jesus loves us so much he died on the cross so we could have everlasting life in heaven. Now, that's something we can be happy about. I have a poem that might help you guys remember this happy meal. Do you guys want to hear it? Yeah? It's called The Savior's Happy Meal. This happy meal doesn't look like much, and it doesn't come with a toy. It may not fill my stomach, but it fills my heart with joy. The bread and juice reminds me of the Savior's love for me. When he died upon a rugged cross on a hill called Calvary, there is no way I can describe the gratitude I feel each and every time I eat the Savior's happy meal. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' death and resurrection. Thank you also for the happy meal we will eat today as a reminder of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
We know how frustrating it can be when something we cherish is broken. Whether it's a child's favorite toy, a cherished item from our home, an everyday object like a garage door, a plate, a broken window, even broken bones, or more so broken relationships and broken hearts. There's problems with broken things. We really don't like them. We try super glue. We try duct tape. But even duct tape can't fix everything. So this morning, for a few moments, we're going to talk about what it means to be broken. To do this, we'll turn to a passage from Matthew 26. Jesus is gathered with his closest friends, the disciples. They're eating together. Jesus knows this is his last meal. The disciples still don't have a clue as to what's going to unfold later that night. Jesus knows it's going to be very painful. And he recognizes the brokenness in the lives closest to him that may result. On top of that, he's in the process of saying goodbye to men he has come to deeply love. He's about to give his life on the cross. We now come to Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Consider for a moment what Jesus is saying here. This is my body, broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. His body is broken and his blood is poured out. It's a sacrifice for many. My body broken for you. My blood poured out for you. The Greek for that word poured out means to gush out, liberally shed, greedily spilled. It's not the image of a few drops. It's an image of all of his blood. It's not a Red Cross donation, but everything poured out, given for many. Now hold on to that thought. Just prior to that, a little earlier in Matthew 26, we read this story beginning in verse 6. Now, when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? Let's set the stage for this story. Think about it. Where was Jesus? He's in the home of Simon the leper. How's that for a nickname? Who would want to be seen at a leper's house? And of course, we know Jesus would. He's hanging out with sinners. Some even believe this woman is a prostitute. In all honesty, we don't really know who she is. All we know is that this woman took a year's worth of wages and broke it open and poured it on Jesus. Somewhere along the way, this woman found that she was valued, that she was respected and honored by Jesus. She experienced the power of God's love through his only son. Maybe it was the first time she ever felt real love. It transforms her. And she wants to worship Jesus in the most sacrificial way she could imagine. Friends, her extravagant act of worship totally confuses everyone except Jesus. Imagine 1 year's worth of wages. You put that amount into a bottle and you pour it out onto someone. Gone in a flash, not even a drop left. So here's what's happening. Picture this in our minds. Translate it into your daily life. She's got this incredibly expensive perfume. She breaks it open and she pours it over Jesus' head. Some people at this point are going berserk. They're furious. How could she even do that? Why would she do that? Maybe put a drop or two on his head, but not the entire bottle. But this was an act of worship, which was more extravagant than we can begin to imagine. So essentially, she's saying, I'm giving you my whole life. I'm giving you the most valuable possession I have. This jar, this flask represents my entire past and future. In other words, I'm leaving my past life. I'm giving my future source of income and my life savings away. Here's what hits home for this woman. Jesus loved her. Jesus changed her forever. So that is why, my friend, she breaks open the most valuable possession she has. Now let's go back to the Last Supper. Luke was there. He reported on what Jesus did, but he says something Mark didn't. In Luke 22:19, we read, and Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he says this, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. The disciples have got to be thinking by now, what is all this about? Most of us would agree that as followers of Jesus, we gather together, we take the Lord's Supper, receiving the bread, receiving the cup, and we do this in remembrance of him. We celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But when we come to communion, do we simply go through the motions? Or is there actually more to communion? Could it be that when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, in the same way, Jesus was broken and poured out, just as the woman broke open her bottle and poured it on Jesus? Could the call on our lives lead us to do the same? Not some ritual we do a few times a year, but live as if We were living for him. God calls us to this Jesus-centered life. And he longs, no? As a matter of fact, in the day and age we live in, he probably weeps as he wept over Jerusalem for us to love as he loved. Friends, there is nothing within us that can do without the love of our Savior. We're told we must deny ourselves so that we can live for his glory. When the gospel says to do this, what if Jesus was saying, don't just do an act to remember, but may you also be broken and poured out in the same way? Paul says it like this in Philippians 2:17, I'm poured out like a drink offering, broken and poured. As we consider the story of the woman who broke her bottle and poured her perfume over Jesus, and as we consider Jesus broken and poured out for you and for me, could it be that we too are called to be broken and poured out in the name of Jesus Christ? Could that be our prayer this morning? What is it, Lord, that needs to be broken from my life? How can my spirit be poured out because of you? In a moment, we're going to take communion together. I'm not going to say a whole lot, but when we receive the bread, I want us to hold it and say a very personal prayer over it. And then I invite you to take and eat when you are ready. And I want you to do the same when you receive the cup. Pray, hold it, and remember. And when you're ready, drink it. The deacons are now going to come forward. They're going to pass out the bread followed by the cup. The deacons are now going to come forward. How can our lives be like Paul's as we referred to himself in Philippians 2:17 as being poured out for God? How can we imitate Christ? Do not let this moment pass. This may very well be the most difficult prayer you will ever pray. But if you're totally, totally serious, your life may be forever different. It could be the most liberating prayer you will ever pray. The bread, Jesus' body, broken for you. As you consider what you need to be broken of, maybe it's selfishness, maybe it's pride or lust or greed or jealousy or envy, I invite you to name it in your personal prayer before God. Deacons, we invite you to distribute the bread. Can we have a unison reading for on the screen? We do indeed. Jesus' words to the first disciples are words also for us. Take and eat as we hold the bread together. Let us join in a unison prayer. As we take this bread into our bodies today, O God, may we take the bread of Christ's healing and empowering presence into our own lives and extend it to the others we meet each day. As you are ready, you may eat. Father, we thank you for the brokenness that you have given us through your body on the cross. Father, we don't take this moment of communion lightly, for we have examined ourselves. We have determined the sins that we need to break away from. And Father, we proclaim them before you, asking you to indeed set us free as only you are able to do. As we prepare now to pour out those things in our lives that we may not have ever considered before. Maybe a need to be more involved, to serve, to give, to pray, to read the Bible more faithfully. To help others, to give up anger, or a host of other things. We pray now as the cup is distributed and we remember your blood poured out for us, that we would be in tune with your heart. You may distribute the cup.
Thank you.
fruit of the vine, a standard beverage in ancient Israel. Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine at Cana, showed the abundance of God's blessing. That last night, he once again turned something mundane into something holy as he took the cup, gave thanks, and announced to the disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Jesus' announcement to the first disciples is also an announcement to us. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." As we hold the cup, let us join in a unison prayer. As we remember the new covenant you established through Christ, O God, may we be renewed in mind, body, and spirit in order to live out of the promise and power you give to all your disciples. As you are ready, you may drink. Let us join in a unison prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks, O God, for this holy meal you have given us. May the power and presence of Christ, so evident in this ordinance, be evidenced in our thoughts, words, and deeds as we try to serve both you and our neighbors in the coming days. Keep us mindful of the example of Christ and fill us with your Holy Spirit, now and evermore. Amen. I invite you to please rise as we sing our closing hymn, number 546, "Guide My Feet." And may that be the prayer of our hearts as we enter into our worlds this week. While we run this race together, may we be ever mindful of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. May we submit and surrender each day to his holy and pleasing will. And in that surrender, may we love one another. Go in peace.